The feast that is mentioned here refers to the Feast of the Tabernacles. It was the last day of the feast, which was the eighth day. For at least the first 7 days of the feast, the priests would march in procession from the pool of Siloam to the temple and pour out the water at the base of the altar. And according to the Jewish law, the water was drawn from the pool of Siloam in a golden vessel, and it was carried in procession. The pool of Siloam was one of the principal resources of water supply to the city of Jerusalem. It was actually the irregular pool of Gihon below the fountain gate to the east southeastern side of the city of Jerusalem. This water was then flowing into an open canal, which slowly but surely crept along the southeastern slopes called the Siloah. In New Testament times, it was used for sick people and others to wash them in. The feast or the festival of the tabernacles or the booths or the ingathering, Sukkoth, along with the Passover and the festival of the weeks, were one of the three major pilgrimage festivals of Judaism. This feast was celebrated for 8 days, from the 15th of the month of Tishri, which is late September or early October. And it was Israel's most joyous harvest festival, where they celebrated the fact that God was giving them so much. And on this occasion, the people would stay in temporary dwellings or booths made of trees and branches of palm trees for the 7 days of the feast. Why? To commemorate the fact that Israel dwelt in the wilderness for a number of days. And this was a celebration of the fact that God looked after them. God gave them food and water. And we know that during this festival, for 7 days, sacrifices were offered, beginning with 13 bullocks and other animals on the first day, and diminishing one bullock until each day. And then on the seventh day, they offered 7 bullocks to the Lord. We know that on the eighth day, there were a solemn assembly when one bullock, one ram, and 7 lambs were offered. This was the last day, one of the most special days. And this is the day that John is referring to. It was on this day that Jesus talked to the people. We also know that during this festival, they would read from the Bible, the Old Testament, all the passages in the prophets, the passages in Ezekiel and Zechariah. All these passages refer to God's temple as the source of God's living water. Living water would flow from the temple to the people, bringing life to all the people living on this earth. In this case, Jesus is saying that the living water would not flow from the temple, it would flow from Him. Everyone that has faith in Him will have this water. And this water will flow from them. Most of Judaism, of course, did not believe that the Spirit was active in their own time. They believed and expected it to come alive when the next period or the next world would come. We also know that water usually symbolized the Torah or the law or the wisdom. But John uses it here for God's Holy Spirit. When people heard Jesus is talking about this water, they thought he's a prophet. A prophet like Moses, whom we know, in whose time God also gave living water to the people in the wilderness. Others said, maybe he is the Christ, the Messiah. But in our reading, it seems as if the people did not know where Jesus was coming from. Immediately they say, he can't be the Messiah because he's from Galilee. But they knew. They knew that Jesus was born in Bethlehem. They knew that Jesus was the son of David. So actually, in our reading, it seems, these people were ignorant. They were ignorant of the facts who Jesus really was. What is the meaning of our text? The meaning is that Jesus brought new life to every believer. He promises his Holy Spirit. Everyone who has faith in him will receive his Spirit, and they will have the living water flowing from within them. It would not be the temple. It would be from God himself, who will let his Spirit flow into everyone who has faith. Amen. The text verse for the sermon is verse 38. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. I'm quite shocked when some people talk about God's Holy Spirit. Often I get the impression that people think of God's Spirit as a competition. Competition between who got more talents and gifts than other people. I am shocked at times when people even have the audacity to say, I have the Holy Spirit, but you don't, because of this and this and this. It seems that people forget that God's Spirit is His Spirit, His Holy Spirit, working through and in the hearts and minds of different people in all sorts of different ways. It's not a small letter S belonging to the human race, which the human race can use, or might I say, abuse for their own benefit. Let's be honest. How many times have we heard about people who claimed that they were talking on behalf of the Spirit of God, and that this or that will be happening? I mean, just recently, someone claimed in America that the end of the earth will be happening on the 21st of May, 2011. And I watched a movie about this on the internet last night. There was this reporter who went to the streets, and he asked the people about their reaction. And really, I was saddened by the fact that people thought this is a big joke. Why do people think of God's Holy Spirit, something independent, even unattached to God's holy being? Why do people go around and use God's Spirit as a power who at times almost contradicts the Bible and the central message of the Bible itself? I think it's because people miss the central meaning of Pentecost. The reason why Jesus left his Holy Spirit is contained in our message, in our reading this morning. Jesus left his Holy Spirit so that his living water can flow from him to everyone, anyone who confesses him as Lord and Savior. He did not mean that his Spirit will disrupt people's lives through confusion and so-called prophets who contradicts everything he said. His living water gives life and hope to those who are in need of survival in this world. His living water helps us too. It helps us to quench our thirst for self-approval and self-righteousness. His living water is full of love, mercy, and forgiveness. It is as if we are in the desert, day by day. But if we drink from it, we will make a difference wherever we go. And we will never be thirsty. But we are clay pots. And might I add, cracked clay pots. And although we are cracked clay pots, although there are many things in ourselves that we're not happy with, although we are not perfect, we still can be vehicles of God's Holy Spirit. God uses all kinds of people. He even used you and me through His Holy Spirit. And metaphorically, you and I can make flowers grow in people's gardens where there's no sunlight or no living water. You and I can bring so much change wherever we go, through God's living water. And although we are full of burdens and weary, metaphorically, through God's Holy Spirit, we can help others to lift their burdens with hope. All of us receive gifts and talents. All of us are important in the eyes of God. And all the gifts and talents are equally important in His eyes. If we start to use them to the benefit of the kingdom of God, we will see the difference in and around us. We will be living water to everyone who crosses our paths. And maybe the time has come that we concentrate on how much we can share of this living water of God, of God's Holy Spirit, with other people. And stop using it to show off. Stop using it to show off, to say to other people how great we are. Let us instead open our hearts and our minds to God's Holy Spirit, who will work through us, despite all our cracks. And you know what? The good news. His fountain will never ever run dry. Amen.